Hey there, it's Patrick McGuire with Empower Nutrition, and I am pretty excited for this podcast. I've got on the line with me a longtime friend, researcher extraordinaire, a terrific trainer, and longtime training partner. This guy happens to be one of my go-to guys when I want to wrestle with some mental nutrition and exercise knots for many reasons. Many of you already know John as one of my former partners and lead researchers for Empowered Nutrition. But as time and business demands grow and grew, things have to change, all for the better, and I'm honestly glad they did. Not because I lost a great partner, but because it meant our time constraints were getting tighter and tighter, and John had to break out to go 100% on research and development in the quest for the perfect body. John is a researcher, as I mentioned. He's a number one guy for some reason. When I was at my best and contest ready, I had an intrinsic ability to know what needed to be done and to be better and what ratios were best. Although I had this intrinsic ability to see this because John was a numbers guy, John, on the other hand, he wanted to know why and how these numbers worked and what was the perfect ratio. What was the golden ratio? What was the Adonis index, as we'll discover and talk about later? So what was that golden ratio? What was that golden number and the measurements required to have the perfect body? And like we said, what became known as the Adonis index? Now, this guy is a focused, he basically took and became a focused product. Ladies, I know it's a guy's focused product, but I've got something really interesting. You're going to learn some neat facts about this, and don't worry, we've got something coming for you. Just listen to what John has to say. He has the perfect numbers for you, too. They're coming. I will get those to you shortly. But for today, and for the sake of time, let's see what John has to say about the perfect AI score for guys. And if you want to learn your perfect AI score during this audio, just go to www.whatsyouradonisindex.com. So without any much more, we're going to get into this. I got a few questions, but John, it's great to have you here on the call. I know we're buddies, but we're both so busy with research and new developments that we rarely get together anymore. I'm sorry. But thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule for me and my friends here. I want you to tell me a little bit about you and why you went after the perfect AI score, and maybe why.
Okay. Well, thanks, Pat. It's good to be here. And like you said, we don't get to hang out as much as we used to. Me and Pat used to train a lot. And when you were getting ready for your contests, and you know, you and more competitive bodybuilders at some point really do just start to figure out what the proportions that look best on your body. And in your shape when you're on stage, you kind of get used to what you think you need to, where you need to improve, and where you think something is behind, where do you think something is maybe not overly developed, but an area where you're like, okay, that area is fine. I don't need to do any more to it, but I need to bring something else up. And like you said, that was just something we could always look at and be like, well, okay, we could agree that something needed work, but we could never figure out why. Like, what is it that makes you and me and just about everybody look and go, oh, automatically that guy needs bigger shoulders, that guy there needs a tighter waist, you know, that guy needs slightly more arm development. So the AI score is basically, I did some research on aesthetics and body measurements and art history and all kinds of stuff and came up with an actual metric to measure what the sort of ideal body proportion and body shape is. And so the image you and I had when we saw you or your guys that we helped train and get ready for shows, what we were looking for or what we could see, now we had numbers to actually categorize what it was, the proportions we were trying to go after. And so that's basically what I did with this system, was come up with an actual metric to measure how close you were to your, I guess, ideal shape and ideal proportion.
Right. That's actually pretty awesome to understand. That is a big deal. Like, to feel it intrinsically, as you and I both had back in the day, and you know, I was really into it and I kind of knew my ratios that I wanted. I used to write them down on paper, but you know, to understand, you know, actual hard fact numbers that are the most appealing to both guys and girls is huge. And John, I mean, there's two primarily measured spots on the body, and maybe you could just tell us what those two spots are, and then we'll get into some of these questions.
Okay, so for the Adonis index ratio or score, the two I guess you could say inflection points, or the two points that really frame how you're going to view a physique, is your waist and then your shoulder ratio. So that's That's the circumference of your waist. So just like, you know, how you, if you wear a belt, like that measurement around. And for us, we take the waist right at your belly button. And then your shoulders, the circumference of your shoulders. Now that's around the widest part of your shoulders, you know, it, as if you took a tape measure all the way around your upper body, including your shoulders, upper chest, and upper back. So capturing the biggest, thickest, widest part of your upper body. And those two points, the waist to the shoulders, is basically makes up the Adonis index ratio, and that's what we've determined through, you know, our various the research that we've done is the most sort of impactful visual two points on your body. So if you can get those into a specific ratio, the image your body portrays will have its biggest impact based on those two numbers.
Great. Okay. Now I'm going to say it's really easy for me to say this to everybody, but if you want to understand those two numbers and figure out the ratio, it's pretty easy. John's got a great tool on the website, and it's easy for me to say, go to www.whatsyouradonisindex.com, but it's a lot harder for people to understand what is the AI score. So John, just give me some simple basics on how you found this. I know we kind of touched on it already, but if you could just help us understand.
Okay. So we were trying to, it's actually a bit of a foggy story at the very beginning of, a colleague of mine. Well, you know, Brad Pelham was helping me.
Absolutely.
And we were trying to figure out how much muscle a human body can actually put on, with and without, drugs. And we kind of landed on some consistent numbers and sizes for guys, who could, you know, were just training naturally and started building bigger size. And it seemed to level off at a certain point. So we kind of ended up with what, like the sort of maximum amount of muscle you could build. And then we started looking into what was the perfect form used in art history, though. So like Da Vinci and some famous sculptors, there had to be some kind of number they used to sculpt some of the statues they did. Like the statue of David, the old statues of like Hercules and some of the more famous works of art. We were like, well, how did they know how big to make those guys? Like, how did they know where to stop? It's not like they had bodybuilding back then and they just modeled it after a bot. They had some image, and it turned out that there was a specific number they were using all along to come up with how big they wanted to make the statues. And that's where we first started. That's where we came up with the idea of these ratios. And then we started looking into the research and physical attraction research. And I had no idea, but there was an entire field of research based around these ratios. And they assessed men and women both looking at images of guys. And there was a specific shoulder to waist ratio that everyone seemed to be most attracted to, most admired, just thought looked the best. And so between the physical attraction research, the art history research, that's when, I mean, there was entire books about it. So I was like, I had no idea this was all like right there. So, I guess we've always, the human race so far has always had this one image of what they thought the kind of most muscular, powerful looking body was. And I didn't know there was numbers for it, but it was right there in the research. No one's ever looked there before.
That's unbelievable. All right. So along that, there's another tool that basically we found, and you know, there's a lot of art history measurements and ratios. The Pantheon actually has ratios, and they actually use the golden ratio and the sequence, and it's quite amazing. But like John said, so does every human body. And another tool that you and I stumbled on, we literally stumbled on it because we had no clue back in the day when we were training. But funny enough, when we were training and I was getting ready for several of my shows, we knew when I was dialed in and looking great. And me being a bit of an artsy type, artsy fartsy, if you will, I had a feeling, and that weird feeling when I was bang on, when I was at the right size or structure for my current size or current goals. And later, I mean, literally just recently, we've realized why, or really you've realized, thanks to your mathematical discoveries. And it all has to do with your hard set number. And for anyone that's curious or confused or understanding this, is there is one hard set number that you pretty much can't change once you hit your 20s or so, and that's your height. So, John, can you explain why your height is – it's a funky perfect ratio number that we can use?
Yep. So the whole thing starts with your height. So for each, no matter how tall you are, you have an ideal waist that works on at your height. And from there, that's how – so once we have your ideal waist, which is a percentage of your height, then we calculate your ideal shoulders, and that's how – you know, that's how we know that ratio works on your body. So, you know, I'm a couple inches taller than you, so my ideal waist is slightly different than yours. And then someone who's 5 inches taller than me, theirs is going to be specific for their height. So it's kind of like the idea of anyone can be lean, anyone can be big, but does it look good on your specific body? Mm-hmm. And we're really talking about proportions. Just being lean or skinny, or just being as big and bulky as possible, isn't really much of anything. It doesn't really get you anywhere. So, and then how do we fit it onto your specific body? And it always starts with height, and then from there, it's a percentage of your height, which is the guide for what your ideal waist is, and then from there we use that to come up with your ideal shoulders, and then that's how the whole thing fits together.
You know what's funny is, as you were saying that, I could totally relate to it, and I chuckled there because. When I was at my mass building goals, trying to be as big as I could, when I hit 263 pounds, I was big, the shoulders are big, the waist was just as big. I definitely wasn't sexy, and I did not have the perfect ratio or perfect body by any means. So 5'9", 263 is not sexy, let me tell you that. But seriously, did you guys just hear that? Did you hear what John has said? John has single-handedly told us how to discover our own perfect body using that one hard set number, our height. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a secret here. I'm going to share it, but we're going to take your height times 0.447, and that should give you your ideal waist. So if you're totally out of shape right now and you have no clue, you can't even relate to anything we're saying, this is how you can relate. You take your height times 0.447, and that's going to tell you where your waist should be. And if you really grabbed a measuring tape and you really cranked on it, depending on how wide your waist is at this point, you probably could go, yeah, I could do that. So then you're going to take that number, your ideal waist, and you're going to multiply it by the golden number, by the golden ratio, your AI score. And that'll give you the exact AI that you need, the information you need between your shoulders and waist ratio. And that's really cool. But to give you a real life application, I used to compete, as you know. I started at 171 pounds in my first show. Now, that's the top of the middleweight class. And 5'9", so, well, not quite. I'm 5'8.5". Got to get the half in there, eh, John?
Yeah.
But my waist started around 31 inches. All right, cool. My shoulders, well, they weren't so big. I was kind of a small guy, and this is before I was competing. But before I was competing, I had smaller shoulders, of course. But this is going to be shocking. My body was able to look long, lean, and muscular. And for a short guy, 5'8.5", why is the question? Well, the reason is I had part one of part two. My height and my waist were ideal for the first part of the AI score. And later I built and sculpted a body that ended up with the same waist size at 31 inches. But my shoulders that went from 36 before I started training up to about a 40, 42, 46, 48, 50, and finally 52 inches. And this is really awesome because we're going to explain this in a little bit. But I'm going to add a chart to the podcast notes for you to see and that you can download and see what these measurements mean in terms of the perfect AI score in my progression. And you'll see how it is. So, John, I mean, you and I both know and everybody knows, you know, that most bodybuilders, myself included, well, my old self included, we pretty much want mass at all expenses. It's like a weird cult-like following, and you do talk about this in one of your chapters, actually right near the beginning, which is what you want to have, is understanding the subcultures and why, but you talk about it, just pulling up the chapter here for everyone, chapter 2, how the bizarre bodybuilding subculture became the leader of diet and fitness industries. You kind of talk about this weird industry and some of the thoughts that we have. But, you know, could you basically give us some of your thoughts on this freaky subculture for our friends?
Well, you and I have both been through and in that subculture, and it is like a cult. It is an inside group. Anyone who works at a gym, if you're part of this culture, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. If you're not, you've seen those guys in the gym and those girls in the gym who just look different. They're either really, really big, really, really lean, maybe both, There's just something different about the way they look and how they conduct themselves in the gym. They normally keep to themselves. They don't talk to anybody. And they're the ones who are more or less leading the entire health and fitness industry. So the stories you hear that you read about in fitness magazines and then that make their way into pop culture and to mainstream stuff, like stuff you'll end up hearing about in regular magazines and books, you know, on television shows, all of that stuff that you hear about in the diet and fitness industry starts with the bodybuilders and fitness competitors. So they're the extreme of the extreme. It's kind of like, and I the best analogy I can come up with is fashion shows. Like when you see the fashion models wearing really, really weird looking stuff, you know, they've got like a boat on their head for a hat and just weird things like that. But well, you know, when you see that on television.
Yeah.
But that's never the thing that's available in the store. The stuff that goes mass production is always a toned down version of what they display at fashion shows. The fashion show kind of shows you what they're thinking of and what they're capable of in a really, really off the deep end kind of idea. And then that gets paired back to something that they can sell in the stores to everybody. That's kind of like what happens in health and fitness. The bodybuilders and fitness competitors, they go all out. They do everything. They're bigger than everyone. They're leaner than everyone. They're stronger than everyone. They take it to the total extreme. And then the supplement shops, the magazines, the diets, the workouts, everything that you're kind of exposed to is a toned down version of something really crazy that they've been doing. So
right until you get the Biggest Loser and Oprah, right?
All the way up to those shows. So some of the techniques you see on the Biggest Loser, some of the things you hear Oprah talking about, like the total mainstream, that's a watered down version of something a bodybuilder was doing 15 years ago. Like,
crazy.
You know, high protein's the craze now. Bodybuilders were into that 15 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, so anything that you're thinking of or you've heard of now, it's already been done forwards, backwards, and sideways by bodybuilders decades ago.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, that we're now sort of delving into personal space travel with some of these fancy planes, if you will, and there's a space race going on, who can be the first one to take people up and all that for a couple $1 million each. But the reality is they've been going to the moon for years. And now we're traveling in space shuttles and we're flying around there with small elite crews of elite people. And next is going to be elite in terms of price tag, but they're going to be average people just like you and I. And that's kind of what I analogize this to, watering it down and making it become readily available for everybody. And that's really cool. And John, you're really speeding up this process with the Adonis Index and helping people understand what the perfect ratios are and why you would train or why would you eat, why would you do anything to get to that ratio, and you guys even dive a bit into the psyche of it too, which is amazing. But you know, we all know there's deep dark secrets in every society going on beyond this subculture mentality. But whether it's the Masons, the Bilderbergs, crazy diet strategies, or secret exercise that no one wants to talk about, I want you to tell me about the big pink elephant in fitness, and more specifically the bodybuilding industry, of course.
Well, if people – okay, so this is also kind of out of the manual here. So if you – I mean, if you haven't already guessed this, many bodybuilders, if not – I mean, I can't say for sure, but I'll say 99% of every bodybuilder, lots are on some kind of drug, and they're not really disclosing that. Now, if you – I mean, even if you don't watch the documentary Bigger, Stronger, Faster, you know – they interview bodybuilders and fitness models who actually just come right out and say, yeah, you know, I've used various steroids. And, you know, if you look at the picture of me on that magazine cover, do you actually really think I wasn't using steroids? And then, you know, I'm thinking of one model in particular. And right in the movie, he just discloses. He's like, if you think I built that body just with supplements, that's your problem, not mine.
And if you do watch Bigger, Stronger, Faster, you'll know exactly what part we're talking about and who that athlete is.
Right. And that athlete athlete actually was released from his contract with the company he was with right after he said that, or at least right around the time of that movie. So, but anyways, the point is, I mean, we've been in the culture. We know a lot of different people who compete. We still know people who compete, and it's drugs and various kinds of drugs are a part of it. And those people don't care. You know, they're just after a particular look. It's an extreme look. Like we said, it's bigger than most people even want to bother with. It's probably leaner than most people even want to bother with. Mm-hmm. And it's just an extreme look that they're fascinated with, and it's sort of it's a very individualistic thing. I mean, even though other people will judge them, they actually don't care. They're just interested in building a really big lean body. But the point is, they get hired as spokespeople for other products, and they end up on the cover of magazines. They end up endorsing different, you know, gadgets and supplements and various systems. But they'll never really come right out and say, "Oh yeah, well yeah, I use that supplement, but I also use drugs," or, you know, "I use that workout gadget, but I also use drugs." So you can never really tease out the difference between, well, what caused those gains, or what caused that look, the drugs or the supplement, or the drugs or the system. So that's something we're aware of just because of our backgrounds. Like, I also worked in the supplement industry for many years, so I know exactly what went on with the models and how contracts worked and things like that. So that's probably not totally news to everyone, but in general, there's maybe more of it going on than anyone would probably think.
Right. And, it's funny, but I was, just as you were saying that, I was thinking back to some of the ads that you see in the magazines, and they clearly say that disclaimer. I was just going to try and pull one up, but I'm going to skip it. And it basically says that results are not typical. You may not experience the same results and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, take care of yourself, see your doctor. But what they didn't say was results are not typical. See your doctor and get your prescription. This client may have been using steroids.
exactly. Right. That's the part of the story they leave out.
And we want to all believe that it's that product or that workout or that diet that did all the work. And in reality, it was that athlete who was focused on a goal and use the tools available to them to get that goal. And but with the Adonis Index, you know, you can really get a lot closer, a lot faster, and you don't have to resort to crazy tactics or absurd ratios and measurements, because a lot of those athletes end up being out of proportion shortly after they get to their fame level. They go over the top and they end up losing that ratio, and now they're no longer that super sexy lean body. So
they cross into freak territory, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, buddy, we know that there's a right look and there's a wrong look. And really, you've helped us uncover some of the secrets already to discovering the perfect bodies. And when people are into the Adonis Index program, they'll definitely understand what the right look for our bodies is. And in case anyone missed it, if you want to learn your perfect body, you can go and get your AI score right now at www.whatsyouradonisindex.com. And basically, John, I just want you to tell our friends about how you chase the wrong look and the new, and basically your newly formed thoughts on this.
Well, I was all caught up in trying to be bigger at all costs as well, so I ended up with a lousy AI score and just really heavy. And to me, it was just.
But bigger. You were strong.
Yeah, I was strong, but I was just big and round, sort of thing. So it wasn't. I mean, I was. I guess you could say I was sort of intimidating looking, but it wasn't attractive. It was just. I don't know. I was caught up in the idea of bigger is always better. So I spent years just chasing the idea of getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And over time, that just turned into getting fatter and fatter and fatter.
You and me both.
Yeah. And so, sure, I wore extra large shirts, but they were, you know, I would stretch them at the shoulder and at the arms for sure, but I'd also stretch them across the gut. And that's not the look you want. So it's kind of not impressive if your chest and shoulders are big, but so is your gut. That's kind of, that defeats the entire purpose. And, you know, at some point I realized this has got to stop. Like, it's just, where am I going with this? I can't just try to keep getting bigger. It's not working. And that kind of, my own personal transformation kind of coincided with me figuring out there's a better way to do this. And there's a, you know, bigger at all costs isn't actually the answer. That actually wasn't getting me anywhere.
I totally agree with that. Okay, so now we know, you know, the way to learn our ideal waist size, you know, the height and then multiplication of the math, which are in the show notes as well. We know what is the right look and the wrong looks and how it's not always about size, as John just mentioned, but more about the symmetry and proportion. So, John, can you help us understand the goals and ratio a little bit and the perfect male proportions as you referred to in Chapter 7? What are they and so on?
Okay, so you've mentioned it a few times here, but we actually haven't introduced the exact concept. So the golden ratio is a number. It's 1 to 1.618. So the waist measurement that we've come up with is your height times 0.447. And then from there, multiply your whatever number you get for your ideal waist by 1.618. And that's what our number suggests your shoulder measurement should be. And that would be your waist being 1 and your shoulders being 1.618 times bigger than your waist as circumference.
And so you're saying, sorry to interrupt you, but you're saying that for simple math, if somebody had about 60% larger circumference, meaning around front, side, backwards, shoulders, 60% larger, they'd be pretty darn close to having a perfect body shape?
Yeah, basically. So
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's basically what the proportion is. And the reason, and so what's the significance? Why do we keep calling it the golden ratio? That's because that ratio is actually known as the golden ratio. It's an irrational number, kind of like pi. Like it's actually 1.618. The number just keeps going. It's
pi.
It's a unique, not that kind of pi. It's a unique ratio that seems to recur throughout nature, and people seem to, for some reason, humans seem to find it pleasing to look at when they see things in the golden ratio. So there's, you know, we can see it in nature. We can see it in things like seashells, and you know, like even there's a couple videos you can go online and just find where it shows up. Like it's actually the scales on a pineapple, or like the, I don't know what you call the coating on a pineapple, but you can actually, it's in a golden spiral. It's all over the place. The human body is basically shaped in the golden ratio. The lengths of your fingers to your hands to your arm are all in golden segments to each other. Same with the lengths of your legs to your upper body and the length of your head, and parts of your face are also within the golden ratio. Plastic surgeons actually use it as a way to guide facial reconstruction when they get patients who've been in unfortunate accidents and need their faces like worked on, basically the bone structure rebuilt. They use the golden ratio to guide them on how to rebuild certain parts. So we're kind of built in this ratio kind of all over the place. And when we look through the physical attraction research, we actually realize that it also is, when you apply it to your waist versus your shoulders, that also happens to be the best look that you can have from waist to shoulders.
You know what's funny, John? You mentioned about the facial reconstruction and the body having segments that are perfect ratios. We've heard of people talking about in art history, you know, eight heads high and different measurements. And you mentioned about the plastic surgeon having to use a ratio, mathematical tool or analogy, plus his visual eye skills to reconstruct a face. But I've actually seen some documents online and research information that shows that a lot of the, we'll call them the artsy-fartsy, but we'll call them the film industry, will actually take a mask, as they called it. They called it a diamond mask. And the diamond mask can be placed over top of almost all of the super mega popular actors and actresses. And there's one for guys and one for girls, but they're both pretty similar. And certain points on your face fall into these perfect ratios. So it's amazing that you're letting us know that, hey, it's not just your waist to shoulders, but there's something else to face, to body, to arms, to height, to legs that we all will gravitate towards. And the fact that people are using it to kind of pre-discover talent, if you will, or pre-discover things that we'll like, I think that's pretty awesome. So if we know our ideal height and we have a tape measure, we can almost figure out how we're doing in terms of the ideal waist. And John just gave you the measurements, 1 to 1.618, but, you know, barring that, let's just do the simple way. We can go to www.whatsyouradonisindex.com, and using the tape measure, you can enter your measurements to discover your perfect AI score. So why the index ratio? Why the Adonis index ratio? And what is it? What do you mean by that? John pretty much covered that. It's 1 to 1.618. So, you know, I want to say thanks. We have a lot more to discuss. We've got a few more questions to go here, but for the sake of time, John, can you give us a few more teasers to some of the other ratios and proportions, and do they really matter? You know, things that you've discovered as you eloquently and in a blunt way point out in Chapter 10 that I think really might be interesting for our friends.
People always ask me about the other ratios besides the waist to shoulders and, you know, chest, arms, you know, forearms, quads, calves, like what about everything else? And that's an interesting question. Bodybuilders tend to think about that. Like I know you, I know when we were getting you ready for shows, you actually had certain ratios you wanted in proportion, like your neck, your arms, and your calves, and things like that. And, yep. You know, floating around in the bodybuilding community, there are theories on that. But again, we're not talking about the extreme of bodybuilding. We're talking about what's the most pleasing looking muscular body for guys. And the arms and shoulders, chest and legs, the other ratios that aren't the waist to the shoulder ratio, the way I've built this workout, the arms and legs will come along in proportion with the chest or the shoulder measurement, the top measurement of the Adonis index ratio. So there's no reason to worry, I guess, too much about those other ratios. If you're building a golden AI ratio anyways with this workout, there's plenty of leg training and arm training to go along with it that will keep everything in proportion. So and there's no indication in the research that those other proportions have as big of an impact on the presence that your body will have besides your AI ratio, your shoulder to waist ratio. Huh. So even though those other ratios kind of do matter, you don't have to worry about them because everything will come along in proportion. So in other words, if you're following the type of workout that will build a golden AI ratio, it by default will also build up the other muscle groups.
Wow, now that is super cool stuff. I mean, I know that, you know, like we mentioned, I had a mental visual goal for myself, and at one point I did accomplish the calves, necks, and arms being all at 18 inches. But like you said, John, shortly after that, my arms outgrew the calves. Your calves can't keep growing at that rate, and I don't think anyone wants to have their neck keep growing at that rate. So it is super cool stuff. What I love is that you not only took killer research article, you turned it into something that we can all understand, we can relate to, we can easily read it, but now we can look at other guys. I know that sounds weird, but we can see if they're closer to the perfect ratio, perfect body or not. We can see if they got the AI score. And this is absolutely amazing thing. Is basically then you break it down, you help us apply that knowledge in a series of workouts and meal plans for nutrition to work towards a perfect AI. So, John, give me a quickie about the workouts.
Okay, we'll try to keep this quick. The main workouts don't really look like your standard workouts. The main workouts, there's four-week cycles, and they go through strength, endurance, hypertrophy, strength, and power. And they cycle through all different training styles. They also have – I've also put in overreaching workouts. So every 8 weeks, I want you to challenge yourself and work even harder than you think you're – maybe not that you're capable of, but push you basically to your limit. So we've added in things called – it started as a joke, but we actually call them the rage workouts now. And these are two-week overreaching workouts. There's four separate ones. And they're each designed to challenge you in a new way that – your regular workout can't really challenge you like this. By definition, you can only do them for 2 weeks. You'd break down if you actually tried them much longer than that. That's why you only touch on them for 2 weeks every 8 or 10 weeks or so. You know, on top of that, we have a 12-week foundation workout that starts the whole thing off if you're new to weight training and you need to sort of build overall body mass before you get into the very specific Adonis Index ratio type training. So the workouts, they're periodized, they undulate, they cycle, they keep changing. Nothing stays the same for longer than 4 weeks. There's all kinds of rep ranges. There's, you know, sometimes you're doing 20 reps, sometimes you're doing 5 reps. Sometimes you're literally, it's like an aerobic workout through some of it, and sometimes it feels like a powerlifting workout. So we get all the energy systems, we get all, you know, the entire body's covered and covered in proportion. And finally, I've added in five muscle group specific, I call them booster workouts. They're basically specialization workouts for any specific muscle group that you feel, and this could just be from just a visual assessment that you feel might be a little bit behind some of the other muscle groups. Now, each of us will have something. We have a muscle that seems to be better developed, just naturally, just seems to have better shape and better fullness. And then and then we have another muscle that we're just like, man, that one just seems like it's a little bit behind. Just everyone's slightly different. You know, for our good friend Brad, his chest was always more developed than everything else, but he always needed to do extra work on his shoulders. Whereas I'm the reverse. My shoulders seem to be a bit ahead of my chest, so I always had to do a little bit of extra chest work. And everyone's got something like that. And it's just, I mean, you, as I'm saying this, you're probably already imagining which is the thing, which is the muscle you'd like to bring up more in your body. So I've added in muscle group specific booster exercises that are designed to be added to the main program strategically and 4-week intervals on the muscle group you want to give a boost to. So I've kind of, there's a main piece of the program, and then there's all of these little pieces you can add to it and customize the program to what your body kind of needs and what you think you need.
I can totally relate to that because, you know, I had one body part that stuck out before I even started training, and it really threw an eyeball proportion problem into it, and you know, I had to build everything else up around it, and usually you don't have to struggle with legs. Or, I mean, you do have to struggle with legs. I didn't. And but building everything up in proportion, you know, made my waist look odd. I had a blocky structure, and then I got a little fatty. So I do understand that. And everybody, like John said, is going to have a plus and a minus, whether it's your arms grow like monsters and your calves don't, whether it's your chest is growing like John said or your shoulders don't. Something else has to be trained and developed in contrast to support the visual appearance of the other muscle groups. And even deeper than that, I know because I've gone through a lot of these workouts with John, gone through a lot more of them on my own. I've used a lot of the Adonis Index with some of my personal clients. John and I have a lot of police officer friends of ours that need a lot of help. And most of the time I put them on a basic intro workout, and then basically I just say, hey, John, can I throw this guy on Adonis? And that is really important to understand because not only is the Adonis Index and all the workouts helping you to develop your body physically, like in terms of appearance, aesthetically, but they also they counterbalance the muscle groups, you know, front shoulders, side shoulders, rear shoulders. You can't just train your front shoulders or your rear shoulders will be out of whack. And that's what's amazing about the whole AI workouts. They really, really keep things in balance, not just the way you look, not the way you feel, not just the way you perform, but the way your muscles and your body counterbalances everything else. And that's amazing. So it's keeping everything in proportion. So, I mean, did I not tell you this is going to be amazing? I mean, John is so deep into this that he's a freak. And with this knowledge, basically you're going to be a freak. You're getting closer to being a freak and the perfect AI as well. So, John, when you first started this project, you charged me with a challenge to figure out the perfect AI nutrition strategies. And amazingly, we found that we were already using the golden ratio in many of these programs with the thousands of clients that we work with all over the world. And of course, we spent hours toiling away on these meal plans and really making sure that we did not miss anything. So I know you have one of the best training programs. I've done it. I use it, and I use it with clients. And you got some of the best meal plans. And basically, you're going to help our friends get their perfect AI score that much faster. So I'll shed more light on this on the meal plans in another podcast, but before we go, John, I totally want you to tell us about the halo effect.
Okay, so the halo effect, I'm another colleague that helped that's involved in the Adonis Index program, Brad Howard, and he does a lot of research in psychology and influence and how people react to each other socially. And the halo effect is something that the having a golden AI ratio seems to pick up the halo effect when you get into this kind of shape. And all that is when you walk into a room, someone's going to judge you regardless. If you don't even say a word, just based on how you carry yourself and how you look, people are going to judge. People judge each other within the first 2 or 3 seconds they look at someone. And they are going to they're going to assess you, and they're going to assign value to what you're going to say, what they expect out of you just on your look. And the halo effect is when that is a positive reaction. So if I walk into a room and I've got the golden index ratio and I'm, you know, I look good, I'm dressed to kind of show it off, so I'm wearing, you know, form-fitting clothes, and there's another guy standing right next to me, maybe 40, 50 pounds overweight, you know, you can tell that he maybe doesn't really take care of himself, and we just both walk in and we're just standing there. We could be the same socioeconomic status, we could have the same sense of humor, we could be identical people, but I'm going to get an unfair advantage based on the way I look. I'm not saying it's fair, it's just human nature, and it's just what happens. So yeah. And this is documented in research. You know, the halo effect, people end up getting better jobs. They get promoted more often than people who don't, you know, exude this kind of visual impact. People assume you're funnier than you are. They just give you the benefit of the doubt. And like I said, maybe it's not fair, but knowing that that happens, might as well use it to your advantage than not.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheat the system with human nature and walk into the corporate boardroom looking and feeling better and more confident than anybody else, and you get the raise first.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if that's what's going on, you might as – and now that we know it, and now we know there's a specific look for it, why wouldn't you – I mean, if you're going to go to the gym and work out to get in better shape, why not get into the shape that can do this sort of stuff?
Yeah.
Like when I was training just to be big, I just look fat. Like, I probably had, like, a fair bit of muscle, but I just look like a fat guy. And like, if I was – socially, nobody cared how much I could bench press. They're just like, well, he's kind of fat.
You know what, John? Something I just sort of thought about is that with a lot of the high-end athletes that I've worked with over the years, they've had to use performance-enhancing products, supplements, drugs, to basically supplement their job and supplement their income. And whether it was the training, the nutrition, the supplements, or the drugs – those were all tools to get the results they wanted, to get the contract for the NFL, the CFL, the National Lacrosse League, or Triple H in the WWE. Maybe he's, you know, overtraining on a regular basis, but he had to have that body to get that job. And, you know, using the Adonis Index and using the tools and the knowledge you now have just from this podcast alone and the AI score, you know, you can use those tools to your advantage. And maybe it's not a massive multi-million-dollar contract, but maybe it's the difference between being sub six figures and being over six figures or mid six figures for your daily job, because you look the part, you feel the part, and you exude confidence. And that's what your employer wants, his company be represented by someone like you. So essentially, because of your body, you're an endorsed personality, if you will, a contract with someone who looks and feels like the company should. And perhaps that's what they really want. They want to have the golden army walking across their floor every day in the corporate boardroom and across corporate America and Canada and the U.S. and around the world. They want to have people that look perfect, because then their product seems perfect. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a visual. I mean, we're in most – I mean, the people have eyes and people will make judgments based on what they see. It's just the way things are.
Unbelievable. I can't say it enough. I mean, but that's – that's another reason why I love this guy. If knowing the perfect AI score for you wasn't enough to, you know, he packaged the whole solution together. So you basically do not have to think about a thing. You don't have to think about learning on how to go about getting your perfect AI. John has sat down with a lot of the top researchers and really put it together between training and nutrition and training variables and intensities. Even I know John personally because I know some of the information he's been working with, structural geniuses, if you will, people that are into biomechanics as well as John doing that. But John, I want to thank you for all your time, and I look forward to getting you back on, getting another podcast done to shed some secrets on the actual workouts, the strategies, the rep ranges, and other variables that basically will bring us closer to our perfect bodies with the golden ratio faster than anything we have ever seen before. Even though we're into the Adonis Index 3.0, this is relatively new, cutting edge. This is bleeding edge information and strategies. So if you want to learn your perfect body ratios, I want you to go now and get your AI score at www.whatsyouradonisindex.com. Now, there's no apostrophe after the what's between the T and the S, but it's www.whatsyouradonisindex.com. John, I got to ask you, man, as we're closing, give me your closing thoughts and what do you want to share and what do you want to sign off with and leave our friends with lasting impressions?
Well, I mean, like we said, this is attainable, and it's attainable for people without having to go to the extremes of using drugs. The impact it can have on your body is huge, and it really eases your mind as a guy who's training, you know, to get in, quote, better shape. Well, this is finally the target. So it's not bigger at all costs. It's not leaner. Now you can zero in on a target, and you can literally measure as you get closer and closer. So it's kind of liberating, because you can actually chart how close you are to, I guess, what your body could be considered looking its best. And one thing I want to add for the ladies, we have the women's version called the Venus Index. I'm just in the final stages of wrapping that one up and finishing the product, the main manuals, and the workout. So that will be along shortly. So if you're listening and you're wondering what about women, we have all of this research and we have the workout and everything ready for women. It'll be done very shortly.
Absolutely amazing. And I will provide you a link in the show notes here for both of these, especially the Venus Index, once it's completed and ready for you. You know, John, again, I got to thank you, man. I'm amazed at everything you've put together, the way this has evolved into Adonis Index 3.0. And, you know, remind everyone, what's your adonisindex.com? Guys, go there, check it out. Figure out your perfect shoulders to waist. And you know what? You can mess around with the calculator if you want, or even grab a pen and paper now that you know the numbers, and figure out what yours is. But remember, it's your height times 0.447. Is that correct, John? I got to make sure.
Yep. And then take that number and multiply it by 1.618, and that would be your ideal shoulders.
Awesome information, and that is your Adonis Index score. That is the key to your golden ratio, your perfect body, and literally looking like one of those perfect Michelangelo sculptures, if you will, minus the granite.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty excited. Thanks again, John. I really appreciate it, and I know we're going to do a lot more to really help people understand what the perfect ratio is, because that's a focus of mine, is helping people find their perfect ratio. I've done it before, and I found what worked for me, and now my goal is to really help other people understand what their perfect ratio could be using things like DNA knowledge and the Adonis Index. So check out whatsyouradonisindex.com, and signing off for Empowered Nutrition, I am Patrick McGuire, your Empowered Transformation Warrior and coach, and my good buddy over here on the other end is
John Barbin. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate your time. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day. Have a